All right, guys, welcome back for part two of Building a Team. Part one was about preparing to hire people, and this part here is going to be how to actually hire people. So tune in and enjoy.
Dude, if you have five guys and they're all B players, you are rocking and rolling.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're killing it.
Yeah. Five B players can work the same as like 10 C players.
Yeah.
And you take 3 to 4 A players and they can do what 5 B players are doing. Okay. This is a great transition into the second half of this conversation. So the second half of this conversation is, you know, we just got done talking about being a one man show and getting ready to build a team. The second half of the conversation is, okay, what do you do now when it's time to start hiring people? Well, yes, everybody wants a team of A players, but what we want and what's available are two different things. And the last thing we want to do is we don't want to let progress get stifled by indecision or paralysis by analysis. We don't want progress to get stifled because we're waiting for the perfect candidate, right?
Yeah, or the perfect SOPs.
Right.
Or all of our ducks to be in a row in every avenue of the business before we commit to hiring an employee.
Right, right. And so, you know, let's just say for a minute we're doing a service-based business. So we've ruled out the idea we're not going to hire an apprentice as our first hire. We had five guys in the field at our company before we hired our first guy without experience. And we were large enough at that point, we were doing big enough jobs where they would always be alongside somebody with experience.
Yeah.
So we got them all, like, it worked.
Yeah.
But
that person isn't going on service calls.
Right.
You know, and diagnosing toilets.
Yeah, they're digging holes in the ground for sump pits. Yeah. They're breaking up concrete. They're laying pipe in a ditch.
Yeah. They're doing real dumb guy work.
Yeah, it's not dumb guy work. It's just entry level.
Okay, dumb guy work.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just say, hypothetically, we're building a home service business, not new construction. And so we're not going to hire the apprentice. But we have this idea of like, I'm going to get a rock star and he's going to come in here and he's just going to blow it up and he's going to sell better than me and he's going to install better than me and he's going to be more organized than me. And anything less than that is unacceptable. And I'm going to fire him. And then I'm just going to walk around saying, can't find good help these days.
Yeah.
Like people, business owners think that's a flex. Shallow-minded, poor leaders think it's a flex to stand amongst other business owners and say, you can't find good help these days. Nobody wants to work anymore.
Because, well, they mean what you just said, is they're not as good as me.
Right.
So I can't find them.
Right.
Because I will only accept someone that's as good as I am.
Right. And that's not the flex. The flex is, I built a team that was less capable than I thought they would be, but we did more than I thought they could do.
Yeah,
that's the business owner flex.
The flex is I took five nobodies and turned them into somebodies, and we're doing $4 million.
Right.
Like, that is the I'm a bad motherfucker. And let's be honest, it is. If you can take people and motivate people towards in whatever avenue you're in and be successful and grow your business, you are a rock star.
Yeah.
Like, that is hard to do.
Very hard.
Very hard to do.
And so what I'm getting at is like that first hire, when it comes time for you to find that first hire, and let's say we're hiring a service technician for an in-home business, you may have these dreams of I'm only going to hire an A player. They're going to have to show me a proven record that they stay at companies longer than 2 years. They're going to have to show me that they can sell this and all this stuff. Well, let's just say they can show you all that. What resulted in those results, or like what culminated to those results, is different in those experiences versus the experience that you have to offer them, the opportunity you have to offer. In other words, they may be $1 million a year salesman with a sales manager that's cracking the whip every morning and every night and driving progress, right?
Yeah.
And maybe you're not a whip cracker.
Well, maybe that's why you left too.
And it could be that's why he's looking out, right?
Yeah.
But also, don't expect that same result to come to happen in your team unless you know exactly how he was managed and that's how you're going to manage him, right?
Yeah. Or if he's a $800,000 a year guy, but the leads he got from his old business sucked.
Right.
Or they didn't have processes in place to get the work done quickly, and so he lost out on some jobs.
Yeah.
And now you're just doing the average, quote unquote, as a business owner and get him the right amount of leads or average amount of leads and can get to the work quickly. Now all of a sudden that guy's a $1 million player, and that was you,
yeah,
not him. You were setting him up for success the whole time.
He had the want and the drive. You had the tools.
Yeah.
The tools being the process and the system that you've built in your company. And so I very quickly tune out. Anytime I'm ever talking to a newer business owner, I'm always gauging them up to see if I can learn from them or are they going to learn from me. Right? I'm wanting to see where they are on the path. And the moment I hear them say, good help is too hard to find, can't find anybody that wants to work, can't find any good help these days, or anything like that.
And they're being serious.
Yeah. Then I immediately like, okay, I'm not learning anything from that guy because he hasn't figured out how to take a group of nobodies and turn them into somebody, right?
Yeah.
And the greatest parallel that I have for this is like picture the military.
That is a good one.
What's the movie where Tom Hanks, is it Band of Brothers? No, it's not Band of Brothers.
Give me a little info, I'll help you.
Tom Hanks and his platoon have to go find the third brother.
Saving Private Ryan,
okay.
Yeah, like the fifth brother, because all the other ones are dead.
All the other ones were died, and yeah, they have some rule that they won't ever let a whole family die or something.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Tom Hanks,
great movie,
is handed this crew of nobodies, and he's given an objective. You don't see Tom Hanks going, well, I can't find anybody that wants to work. Like, he's got to make do with what he's got.
Well, he gets the little retard that, like, is just a, translator.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be in combat.
Right.
Does he complain? No.
Right.
He doesn't actually do it, but by the end of the movie, the guy's, like, half whipped into shape.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And so, you know, military is a great example of that because you have leaders in the military that didn't get to handpick. They don't get to hire and fire. They're given a platoon, a squad, a group, a team, or whatever you want to call them, and they have to work with what they got.
Yeah. Their job is to turn great men and turn them out to other programs, and then everyone else has to be the average.
Yeah.
And if they, let's be honest, if they don't do that, that's on them, and there are harsh consequences for them if they don't do it.
Yeah.
Their positions can be yanked. You know, they'll put somebody else in there.
Yeah.
Because they literally have maybe, it's such a great analogy, one of the hardest jobs in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I have to take some of these kids that have no discipline, no strength, no drive, no nothing.
They were oversold a bill of goods by the recruiting officer.
Yeah, and he has to turn them into something.
Yeah.
You think your job is hard getting a plumber to like make an extra sale every 2 weeks? No.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to turn this into what it's not, but a lot of the times, the problem is you. It is the manager.
Absolutely.
They are not providing the employee with the tools they need to be successful.
Yeah.
Whether it be mental, whether it be sales process, whether it be tools, whether it be whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it takes a certain amount of involvement from you to get them just to be a average player.
Right.
And if I'm not going to say all of the time, but the majority of the time, if they're not there, you're not giving them something.
Right.
You know, maybe it is something mental and they just need to hear, you know, the right encouragement from you at the right time,
mm-hmm,
or you need to be involved with them a little bit more personally to get a fire under their ass.
Yeah.
And then your cop out is, well, he just didn't have the head game for it. Maybe he just needed a little bit of help and you didn't recognize it.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
It's like kids playing sports, man. It's like Layla, I have to have a talk with her before every game.
Yeah.
Hey, remember our mindset that we talk about, I am as good as these girls.
Yeah.
Because they're all bigger, right?
Yeah.
I am as good. I can do this. I can do that. She's had a like drastic change in the last 6 months, but it was just like I had to realize that she needed a little bit of head game talk.
Yep.
You know, we had to sit down and have some conversations because she was down on herself for no reason whatsoever.
Yep.
It's the same thing as a manager, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, that's literally your job as a team builder is to take people, to identify things in people that they don't even see in themselves, and to recognize that you take a person with good attributes and then you teach them your systems, your processes, your ways of doing things, and to know that they're going to exceed in the role at your company.
Yeah. Maybe their own expectations, maybe your expectations.
Right. So as we're putting that team of people together, we're hiring guys that already have experience doing the craft, and we're just looking for guys that can do the craft so that we can just teach them how to do the experience like we want them to do it. And there's a misnomer out there that hiring is a skill. It is not a skill. Firing is the skill. There is no skill in hiring. None whatsoever. Because adults lie.
No.
Plain and simple.
Do they?
Yeah.
Damn. Learn something new.
You know the AWS servers went down yesterday and they're still kind of down today, right?
Some of them are still a little.
Have you seen some of those memes?
No.
They're like.
I don't. Dude, I try to stay.
When you lied on your resume and it's painfully obvious.
That's good.
Like they probably hired some guy that's like, oh yeah, I can manage your servers, and then he crashes the whole thing and kills half the internet, you know?
Yeah. What's funny is AWS, they are one of the best, if not the best, server farm in the country.
Yeah.
Like, they are reliable, dependable, mm-hmm. redundant. I mean, they are almost bulletproof.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yep. And we didn't do work yesterday.
What did you do? Did you send everybody home?
We just told everybody, like, we don't know when things are going to come back online, so just stay ready. But like,
oh shit, I'd have told you to get bent. Like, dude, I'm not sitting here in my work clothes on my couch with my hands like this for fucking 8 hours.
That's what they got to do.
I'd been like, nope.
Yep. But
I'd have been like, I'll go out there and I'll just wing it.
Yeah. It's crazy how much stuff runs on AWS servers.
It's a lot.
Our CRM banks a lot of stuff on it. Our credit card processor banks a lot of stuff on it. The phone system banks a lot of stuff on it.
Dude, Tradewind's website's AWS.
Yeah. Tradewind's website wasn't working yesterday.
Oh, like, just for like 10 minutes and it came back on. So
yeah. But so we were down and out. But ultimately, as you're putting these guys together, because adults lie, you're going to go interview somebody and they're going to be like, oh yeah, I sell this. I'm good at that. I'm great at this. If you're lucky, they'll tell you what they're not good at. If you're really lucky, they'll differentiate between what they're not good at and what they don't like, right? Because bad employees will love to weaponize their incompetence. And if you have them do a task that they don't want to do, they intentionally do it poorly so that you don't ask them to do it again.
Like you doing laundry here at the house? Yeah, same thing.
Sure. Yeah. I guess I'm just bad at it.
Did you roll the laundry? Yeah, that's how I do it.
That's how I do it.
Don't touch my shit ever again.
You don't twist it and bunch it up and cram it in the drawer?
That's how I do it.
But because adults lie so bad...
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Like, you kind of have to take them at their word on the interview and then just hold them accountable in the first.
Yeah. 30, 60, 90 days, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Guys, we were just having this talk with one of our guys last night. It's like, dude, if you write down what they say they're good at, you both set expectations when you hire them,
mm-hmm.
and then they don't meet those expectations or you don't meet the expectations of what you said you were going to make available for them, whether it be calls or hours or whatever,
mm-hmm.
like there's a talk that needs to be had after 30, 60, 90 days.
Yep.
If it's time to let them go, let them go.
Yeah.
If he is a good employee and a rock star and you're a shithead, he's going to come to you and be like, dude, you told me we'd get X amount of calls and my revenue's half of what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
He's going to tell you that.
Yeah.
And it's your responsibility to also tell them when they're not meeting the expectations you talked about in the interview.
Yeah.
And if that's fire, It's fire. If it's reset, it's reset.
Yeah.
This is another one of those things. We want to make it more complicated than it really is. Sometimes it is that simple.
Yes.
Set expectations. Have open conversations. When expectations aren't met, fire them.
Yeah. You can fire somebody for any reason at all. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't sue you, right? But, like, in other words, you can't fire them based on their skin color. You can't fire them based on their age or all that stuff, right? But you also can't withhold hiring somebody for the same reasons, right?
Yeah, as long as you don't say it out loud, you can, but yeah.
Well.
That's a joke for those that are listening to the show.
The professional way to answer that is you're looking for cultural alignment with your culture and your values and your company.
And you know what? That could be a good side tangent, and I'm not going to take it.
I think that lazy, sloppy guy is not going to be a good cultural fit.
Yeah.
And that just is what it is. But ultimately, people are going to tell you what they think you want to hear in the interview, and then it's your job to hold them accountable, lead them and manage them and hold them accountable once they're actually working for you.
Yeah.
And also, don't think that having to terminate somebody is a bad thing either. Let's say you hire somebody and they oversold themselves and overpromised on the interview. 90 days in, they ain't working. Don't feel bad about terminating them. They're the ones who oversold themselves on the interview.
Yeah.
Or let's just say things changed and you were growing and now you stopped growing. And so now you got to cut some fat, right? Don't even feel bad about that. It's business.
Yeah. You ever lost your job, Mitch?
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
We all lose jobs.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to take it. And I understand why they want to take it personally, because I think deep down a lot of people really want to be part of the solution and they want to help people. You mm-hmm. know, they don't want to be the reason that they go through struggles. But man, it's out of your control. What do you do? Do you sacrifice other guys' pay to pay them when you're slow?
Right.
And then everyone suffers?
Right.
And the business folds? I mean, like, at what point do you say, I've just got to do this. I've got to make this decision.
Yeah. And also...
Sorry, I'm having a mental meltdown over here or something. My allergies are bugging me.
The other part of that is, as you're... Like, your business is the mothership. And you have to protect the mothership at all times. And so, if you care too much about the employee, then the business and the customer ends up having to sacrifice. And so one of my mentors a long time ago, whenever it came time to terminating a low performer, I was dragging my feet with it. And it didn't help that this person was in two different protected classes. So we had to kind of worry about
backlash
and do it correctly and everything else. And in which we were perfectly fine on that. We had all the documentation we needed and everything. But they were like, what are you hesitant for? And I'm like, well, I keep thinking I'm failing as a leader because I wasn't able to turn them around. And they said, well, maybe, but don't make that failure worse by holding on to them longer than you have to. And I said, well, how does one decide when it's time to cut the loss? And they said, look at it this way. That guy could have a dream job opportunity come across his path in the next day or two, but you haven't fired him yet. And so he's going to say no to that dream opportunity. So now you're delaying firing him is actually holding him back on a perfect opportunity that would work for him somewhere else.
Yeah, we like to think that we are in a lot more control than we actually are.
Yeah.
Like, what we do is going to dictate everything from here on out.
Yeah.
And that's just not true.
Yeah. And so as soon as he told me that, I terminated that guy that day. And I've held that true all the way through. And what's crazy is as I follow up with these, sometimes I follow up with them. Sometimes I just kind of keep tabs on the situation.
Yeah.
I've never terminated anybody that went longer than like 2 weeks without finding another job somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like their life is over because I have to terminate them.
No, but that's what we build it up in our heads as.
Yeah.
Is when I fire this guy, he is going to lose it. He's going to kill himself. He's like, his whole life is over.
Yeah.
He's never going to be successful because of this decision I made.
Yeah.
That's just a fallacy.
Yeah. We're resilient people.
Yeah.
We're very resilient creatures.
Yeah. We want to eat.
And, yeah.
You know,
and what I can, what I can tell you is the whole rest of the team knows that guy should have to go. The whole rest of the team knows he's a cultural misfit.
Yeah. The longer you hang on to someone, the more respect you lose with your team.
Yeah.
100%.
So you will actually gain respect. You'll gain buy-in and you'll gain support from your team when you cut out the low performer that does not blend with the team. Your team wants to work with other high performers. And if you're building a good culture, your team will tell you when somebody's not cutting the mustard. And your team will tell you, like, hey, we're having this problem with so-and-so, and the way that he's handling it says he's not our cup of tea. He's not fitting our values. He's not fitting our culture. It's just not working, right? Well, the moment your team comes to you and says that and you do nothing with it, you are now eroding respect from the people that you want to save on the team.
Yeah.
All for somebody that doesn't deserve a spot on the team.
Yeah. If the guy's ruining culture, you're making the ruining of the culture worse.
Yeah.
Like, you're compounding the interest.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah. And to anybody who's ever experienced good culture and bad culture in a company, once you've created good culture, that is the mothership right there. That's the hardest thing to create. It's the easiest thing to break. Culture is like trust. Trust takes forever to build, and it's destroyed in an instant.
Yep.
And so culture takes forever to build, and it can be destroyed in an instant if you keep the wrong guy on the team for too long.
You learned this firsthand not too long ago.
Yeah, I learned it. I mean, I've learned it firsthand many times over in my career, but I've experienced it recently.
Yeah.
Right? And so notice what I said earlier, though. Culture is like trust. It takes forever to build, and you can lose it in an instant by keeping the wrong guy on the team for too long. I didn't say you can ruin trust and culture by hiring the wrong guy. You ruin it by keeping the wrong guy on the team.
Yeah.
We make bad hires all the time. Keep in mind, hiring is a 50-50 thing. I'm telling you what it's like to work here. You're telling me what you're capable of. If you lie through your teeth, I can't control that, right?
And that's what you were saying earlier of the skill is not in hiring, it's in firing.
It's in firing,
you know, developing that skill to know when a guy is a cancer.
Yeah.
To have the skill and the perception to know that he's not performing like he should be.
Right.
And then the real skill is not to hang on too long.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing I think that everyone battles with the most.
Yeah.
Because they want to be a good person. And I think they want to feel like they can turn anyone into an A player.
Yeah.
Like, especially competitive people, people that own their own business. They feel like they can turn them around. Mm-hmm. I can make this work. It's in place. I have it under control. And they feel like it's a failure when they don't.
Yep.
And sometimes that's why they don't let go of them.
Right.
That's why it's a developed skill. No one, I mean, I shouldn't say no one. Lots of people just can fire easily, you know, but for almost everyone, it is a developed skill.
Yes.
Something you have to get over, something you have to make yourself do.
Yeah. It's again, take an athletic coach, right? Football, you got a 53-man roster. Are they limited on how many guys they can have on the practice squad?
Yeah, but I don't know what the number is.
Okay.
53 and then a practice squad.
Yeah. And so
practice squad's pretty big.
You got tough decisions you got to make. You can only have your best 53 on the roster.
Yeah.
So you're gonna make a decision. You're gonna do what's best for the team, and that's putting the best 53 up front. And then the rest of the guys are hanging out on the practice squad. And then if somebody on the team gets momentarily injured, they're on the bench. If somebody on the team has a season-ending injury, they put them on injured reserve.
Yeah.
Freeing up a spot for somebody to come up from the practice squad onto the team. And so, you know, athletics, they have to rank their guys all the time.
And constantly.
No matter how much they like a guy, like
that's got to be one of the hardest jobs in the NFL.
Yeah. Like, take Juwan Taylor, for example.
Baseball, whatever. Doesn't matter. Like, you, people develop, it's just like business, people develop relationships with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're friends. They know that their livelihood is on the line.
Yeah.
You know, they care for them, but they still have to weekly rank and weekly decide who's the best, who am I putting on the field, who am I moving down, who am I moving up. Like, it's, and let's be honest, you know, we say learn skill, develop skill. Like, that's an experience thing too.
Yep.
You know, the longer you do it, the better you'll be at it. It just, it's one of those things that it can take time to get good at. In business, it doesn't take as much time, or shouldn't take as much time. You should be able to literally, in 60, 90 days, decide this guy's going to work out or not,
right,
and be able to move on.
Yeah.
And let's be honest. You were saying earlier, you know, the longer I keep them on, if it is someone you like, the longer you keep them on, the harder it is for you personally to let them go.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Not just they may find a better job. Like, you may develop an even stronger relationship with them. 3 days may go by. They may get hurt. You're stuck with them for a while.
Right.
You know? And then it is really hard to get rid of them because they did have a setback in actual real life or something. Like, that in and of itself is a reason to cut the fat as soon as you think you can.
Right.
Or need to.
Take Juwan Taylor from the Chiefs.
Right tackle. Offsides every freaking week for the first 3 weeks.
Most penalized player in the league.
Not offsides, false starts.
Yeah. False starts. And
he's
so
been good as of late.
One could argue, why do you keep a guy like that on the team? Well, in 2023, he allowed 59 cubic pressures. In 2024, he allowed 9.
You're saying don't cut the fat?
No, what I'm saying is he protects the quarterback.
Yeah.
Yes, he gets you some penalties. But what's worse than a penalty? Somebody sacking your QB for a 12-yard loss and a loss of down. So the Chiefs have a business decision to make. They have to look out for the best interest of the team. And yeah, you could focus on the penalties and be like, no, you're not going to start because you get too many penalties. And it's like, well, what's the alternative? We put in somebody else that doesn't protect very well, and that when they're like, Juwan Taylor's failure is he gets a penalty, 10 yards and no loss of down.
Yeah.
You put in somebody else, you might lose 12 yards, your QB, the ball, and the down.
Yeah. And someone that has a quote unquote skill at firing knows, hey, I've got to keep him in here.
Right.
Someone that doesn't and is real quick, they haven't developed that skill.
Yeah. And so that segues us into the last part about building a team once you're actually building the team. And that is, don't expect perfection right out of the gate with the hiring. Hire people that can get the job done, rank the team, who's the best, who's the worst, and always be willing to upgrade. Okay. So in other words, if you've got enough workflow that you could hire 3 guys, you need a 4-man team, you and 3 more people. Don't think that your 3 hires are going to be rock stars. You need bodies. Business is literally a back and forth cycle from a sales problem to a fulfillment problem, to a sales problem to a fulfillment problem.
If you're growing, yes.
Well, even if you're shrinking because you're not making enough sales and you're not fulfilling enough jobs.
I guess
jobs.
As long as you're not stale.
Right. If you're good at business, you will put yourself back and forth into one of those where you solve the problem so well, you now created a problem on the other end. We had a sales problem. We solved that so well, we now have a fulfillment problem. We can't install all these jobs. Okay, we solved the fulfillment problem so well, we now don't have enough jobs to install. I've created a new layer, a new level of a sales problem.
Yeah.
So now I got to go solve that problem again. And I'm gonna solve that problem so well, it puts me back into a fulfillment problem again.
Yeah.
And that's how you grow, right?
Yeah.
Well, don't hire guys that you think are going to be, like, don't hold off on hiring guys because they're not an A player. A C player is better than a non-existent player.
Yeah.
A C player can move the event forward and you can be looking out for a B player or an A player the moment you hire the C player. But you've got a business to protect. You've got customers to serve. You can't afford to go too long without hiring somebody.
Yeah.
And so remember my first year in business, it was February. I had been in business for like 6.5 months, and we had a cold snap. And I went from being like booked a day or two out to being booked 2.5 weeks out. And I was freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
Because word gets around that you're 2.5 weeks out for long enough and people just quit calling you. So you got to solve these problems quickly, right? And so there's a lot of guys that need to hire but won't because they're too scared. And so they're finding reasons not to hire. Well, I think this guy's too old. I think this guy's too heavy. I think he's lying about his experience.
I'm afraid that the work's going to dry up.
That's the number one we see.
Yeah. We see that one all the time.
You didn't start a company and plan to grow it only to stop before you actually grow it, right?
Yeah.
But guys will come up with these excuses to not hire even C players. And then when the A player comes along, they're like finding reasons why somehow he's not a good fit either.
I don't think I could keep him busy enough.
Yeah.
He says he can do $1 million. I don't have the kind of calls to keep him at $1 million.
Right. But like, when he does 100,000 in 5 or 6 weeks,
yeah.
Guess what? You now have the money to go buy some more calls.
Yeah.
To feed him.
Or to hire C players and make them installers.
Yeah.
And actually get the... I think a lot of it is because of... You know, we talk about comfort level all the time. People act or pretend that the business is going to take off. I'm going to have just the right amount of calls, and the guys are going to be just the right amount of busy.
Right.
And anything other than that is going to make me have to work harder or be uncomfortable.
Yep.
So they will go out of their way to stop that from happening. The problem is that's going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
There ain't a damn thing you can do about it. So stop trying to control every little nuanced thing to try to get to that perfect balance point. You're going to run out of jobs in January, and you're going to have to lay someone off for 3 weeks.
Yep.
And you're going to have to hope that he wants to come back when you get busy. And if not, you got to find someone else. Well, they don't want to deal with that.
Yep.
You know, it's this fictitious vision of business that they think everything is going to be balanced and everything is going to be perfect and that they want to drive towards that. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but you just have to let go the fact that that's never going to happen, or accept the fact that that's never going to happen. Sorry.
The reason you think it's going to happen is because you've seen it happen at big companies that you've worked at in the past. And now a word from our sponsors. Field Pulse is the field service management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. We're talking advanced features to work as your CRM. It'll handle your estimates and invoices. It'll do your scheduling and dispatching. It'll provide good, better, best proposals to your customers. It'll let you structure maintenance plans, and it'll even import the Tradewinds pricebook. Plus, FieldPulse integrates with the software you're currently using, like the pricebook, but also QuickBooks Online and your desktop PC. You can hit the ground running without ever changing the day-to-day work. By simplifying those day-to-day operations, FieldPulse saves you time, keeps your team organized, and gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. And it's not just us saying this. FieldPulse has earned a 4.8 star rating with over 600 Google reviews. To learn more, head over to fieldpulse.com. That's FieldPulse.com. You've seen a company that hires 40 employees a year, and 20 of them leave and 20 of them stay. And when you're hiring people at that volume, yeah, once every couple of years, they do hire a rock star right out of the gate. But how many did they have to hire? 40, 80?
Yeah, they remember 100? What they want to remember.
Right.
Another thing I think too is if you come from a company that's got more than, say, 8 or 10 guys, you don't really know the exact reasons necessarily why people left or were fired or came on board. Now, you've maybe built up some bullshit or heard some rumors.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But you don't really know the inner workings until you're on the front lines and it's your business and you see literally every little aspect of what's going on. And then it becomes a bigger thing than you realize because you just, it's the first time you've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that makes sense.
And so, you know, there's when you hear in business, there's levels to this shit. What they mean is like, okay, I'm going to hire my first guy. And that's like a level one guy, low level, right? But I got him hired. I got him here. I found out how to pay him. I found out how to do payroll. I found out how to get insurance. I found out how to get benefits. I found out how to make sure that his paycheck's right every week. I found out how to motivate an employee with money and performance incentives. I found out how to treat him. Like, you're like the idea that you're going to have this perfect first hire. You don't want a perfect first hire because you don't know how to hire anybody yet. You're learning with them. And you may ruin a perfect first hire because you didn't get the insurance. You didn't get the paycheck. You messed it up. It you know, accounting error, bad glitch, bad communication. Like, who knows?
Shit happens.
Sometimes stuff happens and you ruined the opportunity at that. And so just like you're trying to find guys that can do well for the business, you need to be holding yourself accountable for how you manage somebody. And so, for instance, in our business, we hire fast and fire fast. I'm going to take you at your word. When we have a need for an employee, I put out the memos and we get an employee quick. But if you're not going to cut the mustard, you're going to get cut loose quick too. And I've also done working interviews where I technically hire him as like a 1099 contractor for a couple of weeks and then tell him like, we'll actually bring you on full time if you cut the mustard for...
If this works out.
Yeah. And so, but the moment something's not working out and the moment it's not going to hurt the team to let that person go, we let him go, right?
Yeah.
Now,
you won't, like if they are a little bit of a cancer, but you just... you have no one else to fill that role yet, you keep sending them out there.
You got to make do, right? You don't want to cripple your ability to perform work and service customers because you have a guy that you'd rather not have. Now, if a guy is cancerous and a guy is actively tearing the team apart,
that's different.
It doesn't matter. He's got to go immediately.
And you got to go back in the truck.
Yeah. But
I'm talking to you.
Yeah. But If you have a guy that's just a C squad level person, like he's on the bench in the C team, but you can't do without him, you just can't trust him with as much as you'd like to trust him with.
You're accepting resumes.
You're accepting resumes and you're looking for opportunities to upgrade that position, right? Yeah. And if a B player comes along, cool. Fire the C player, hire the B player. You have the same amount of employees. But you just upgraded. They're going to be a better cultural fit. They're going to understand your vision and mission and values better. And they're going to row in the same direction.
You know, we talk about this in TradeWinds all the time is just constantly be accepting resumes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can always tell them, you know, it's just not going to be a fit right now. You know, our call volume has dropped, but I'm going to hold on to your resume.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Get that file loaded with guys.
Yeah.
And then instead of... oh, God, a guy quit or I had to fire this guy and now you're scrambling to try to make a hire, you can still put that quote-unquote Indeed ad out there or whatever, but after you do that, you're going through those resumes.
Yeah.
You've got them ranked. This is the guy I'd like to have the most. The next, and then just go down that list.
Yeah.
Call number one, call number two, call number three, call number four.
I have files in my email for potential new hires, for Rockstar potential new hires, and for... I actually have a file for potential business acquisitions. And so if I ever interview somebody or talk, not really interview, but have a light discussion and I hear that they're looking, I'll say, shoot me a resume. I hang on to it, right?
Yeah.
And then I'll put it in that file accordingly. Potential hire, rock star, potential hire, right? And also, as I'm having conversations with people about maybe one day they want to sell their company, I put that in a file in my email. As potential business acquisition one day. And never know.
Yeah.
It's not like I want to go acquire businesses, but I want reference back to that conversation so that if something changes or something happens in 6 months and I'm in a position to acquire businesses, well, Now I've got four or five that I can go talk to right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Fresh, because I've saved their emails, right? So a lot of business owners forget that you can upgrade your team with ease. A lot of business owners forget let me put it this way. I rank every employee, whenever I'm ranking our employees, I look at it like we're on a boat. And on a boat, you have three different types of passengers on the boat. You have people that are rowing in the right direction and helping the boat move forward. You have people that are riding on a seat as a passenger, and they're not helping row in the right direction, but they're also not really slowing you down too much. And then you got anchors. You got people that are
wrong way,
that are rowing the wrong way or dragging you backwards.
Yeah.
Right. And so the anchors, you have to go let go immediately. The passengers are upgradable. And if the
or
opportunity,
downgradable. Yeah.
Well,
whatever you want to look at.
Yeah.
Can
yeah.
I invest in this guy enough to get him to be rowing in the right direction?
Right.
Or what do I need to do that? Or if I get someone else that's rowing, is this guy gone?
Right.
If he doesn't step it into gear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so basically the anchors are cultural misfits. They do not belong in your culture. They're cancerous.
Yeah.
They're actively working to hurt the team.
Yeah.
Whether they know it or not, right? Some people aren't malicious. They're just dumb.
Some people are just so negative.
Yes.
And they're just born that way.
Yeah.
And they just act that way and say things. And they're probably not intentionally trying to tear down your business.
Yeah.
But that negativity spreads.
Yeah. Have you ever read into the science of negativity?
I used to be that way, really bad.
You ever read into the science of negativity?
No.
So you have these little neuro pathways in your brain.
Oh, okay. I like where this is going.
This is like legit.
Okay.
And I'm not a scientist, so I'm going to loosely describe this. But you have these neuro pathways in your brain. And every time you go through a problem and come up with a solution, you build a new neuro pathway.
Yes.
Okay?
I do know that.
And so like that's how, let's call it a wrinkle, right? Everything you know is a wrinkle in your brain. But
yes.
But what I'm getting at is if you're a negative person, you go through a problem and you identified all the negatives with that problem and you didn't identify any positives, well, your outcome from that situation is a negative neuro pathway. You just formed a new negative neural pathway.
Yes.
Okay. So now you do that enough and you reinforce old pathways, negative old pathways, and you build enough new negative pathways that now that's literally the only way your brain is wired, is to think of the negative side of things.
Yes.
Right. And so those people
this
that
is interesting.
Those people that you just can't ever make happy, they are bombed with negative neural pathways in their brain. They created this on themselves.
Yeah, or rough childhoods can create them.
Yes, yeah. Their life, I don't want to say they created it themselves like it's their fault. It's a unique thing to how they were raised and how they were taught to think.
Well, and life experiences and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and how they were taught to process trials and tribulations and hard times, right? Yeah. And so let me give you an example of this. We all have a friend that is, they never can get their life together. Well, maybe we don't all have this friend, but they never can quite get their life together, but it's never their fault.
Yeah.
Right?
My job did this.
My car did this. The mechanic did this. The traffic did this. The police officer did that.
Yeah.
You know, all of these things. That's a person with tons of negative neural pathways in their brain.
Yeah.
And they are very, 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 they're bound to struggle greatly in life, right?
I'm learning something about myself right now.
There's a lot of people,
as I think about this.
There's a lot of people that have positive neural pathways, okay? I'm guilty of this. I'm too busy seeing the good in people that I don't see the bad.
God, yeah, you are like that.
I expect me out of other people.
Yeah.
That's not good
either. That's probably the only reason we're friends.
Maybe. but like that can happen too. And that's a problem in itself. It's less of a problem, but it's still a problem in itself because now you're setting the stage to get taken advantage of. You're setting the stage to get scammed.
If you don't recognize it, yes.
Correct.
But you recognize it.
Yeah.
Like, it's so funny that you said, you and I have had this conversation a bunch because I have changed my, like, what I've done for 22 years, right?
Yep.
And so, like, when you see a problem or a task at hand, you said, when you find a solution for that and you get it done, it builds a positive pathway. I am always looking to do projects or things that are challenging to me to get the dopamine of I got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I'm always chasing that. And it's probably because I was raised a little fucked up, and so there was a bunch of negative things, and so I'm always seeking that positive attribution through that.
Yeah.
And that's probably why I want to see all those little projects finished and done. And I will say that when I don't, like, for whatever reason, I'm busy and I can't get a lot of that action in my life or things being done, like, I do feel down.
Yeah.
It's like the exercise thing.
Yeah.
You know, same thing.
Yep.
Like, you just feel down, you feel depressed, and it's just because you're not getting that constant dopamine of I'm creating something positive in my brain.
Right.
Oh, right. That's scary realization
for me. It
God
is.
Damn.
Like positivity is literally something that you can practice and condition for.
Yeah. I didn't even realize I'm actively trying to do it.
Right. And that's why my wife and I, on date night, we play the game of, like, let's see how many compliments we can give people. Because it helps rewire your brain to take, like
I was thinking of something super dirty, but I'm sorry.
No. Like let's just be real. Women have a negative impression of other women right out of the gate.
Oh, they're hard on each other.
They're hard on each other, right?
God, it's awful.
And so take a woman with RBF, resting bitch face.
I have RBF.
You do. You do.
I do. Yours
might be RDF.
Resting dick face.
Yeah. But
I've been told this a lot lately.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't even mean it. I'm thinking about stuff and I'm just.
You're just zoned out.
Yeah. I've had people come up to me and be like, dude, are you okay? Yeah. Why? I'm great.
So as a woman, I mean, I know we aren't women, but like as.
Oh, one of us isn't. We've been to hour 30.
We know women are preemptively hard on themselves or each other. And so now take that woman that you're judging and preemptively hard on and give that person resting bitch face. And now it's even worse. Oh, she just looks like such a bitch.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, God, they're bad about that.
And you do that enough, and now you're preemptively judging people just out of habit. You've created enough neural pathways in your brain. This is just what you do.
And then once you've done that, that's how you envision them until you get to know them. That's like not something that in a snap of a 3-minute conversation changes.
Yeah.
Like, you have to get to know them to have that change now.
Yeah. And one of the coolest videos that I see online is a spouse taking a video of their spouse. So their other spouse, right? So like
I understand.
A husband taking a video of a wife or vice versa. And the spouse that they're taking video of is trying to find them in a crowd. And so they'll be like off far away from this person and they're zoomed in. And the person has like RBF or their eyebrows are scowled, they're frowning a little bit, their eyes are a little squinty. It's because they're looking for their spouse, right? But then the magical part of these videos is the moment they find their spouse, you watch their facial expression immediately change.
Yeah, they smile.
And it's like that right there, that's who that person normally is.
Yeah.
The moment that a thing got in their view that they were looking for, you saw exactly who they are.
Their true emotion.
For that split second, right?
Yeah.
And every once in a while, they kind of bomb to where it's like they find their spouse and they kind of roll their eyes or whatever. And it's like, okay, they're having a hard day. But
I don't know. I roll my eyes at Janine all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I do too.
But it's just for fun. It's my enjoyment.
Yep. Most of the time, if I ever find Danielle, she's usually like trying to hide her face from me because I'm misspelling the word Chiefs in front of 80,000 people at Arrowhead.
Or spending money she's not supposed to be spending.
Or
at the mall or wherever.
Misspelling the word fuck on this podcast, actually.
Dude, we just talked about before the show that I haven't been making shorts because I've been really busy.
Yeah.
I got 3 bangers
right now. I bet you do.
And they're just making fun of you.
Yep. That's
sorry,
we should
buddy.
Do that. We should make fun of you more often.
I'm putting it on there.
But being able to recognize that you know, people aren't who we think they are, and we got to give them time to show who they actually are. And then we got to judge them based on the culture of what they bring to the organization. That's huge. I can teach anybody how to plumb. I can't teach you how to give a shit. I can't teach you how to show up on time. I can't teach you how to keep your truck clean. I can make a process for how the truck should be cleaned. I can hold you accountable to that process.
Yeah.
But I can't teach you to recognize that the cleaner you keep your truck, the more money you make. And it's not because I'm paying you more. It's because you're more efficient and you're earning more. And so hire fast and fire fast is probably one of the best mantras a young business owner can have.
I mean, if you can do it successfully, which it's not hard,
right?
It's the fastest way to growth.
How?
What's the biggest hindrance in growth that we see?
People.
Hiring. Our guys hiring guys.
Yeah, people and leads. Those are the two things.
If you can hire guys, you can buy more leads.
Yeah. Let me ask you this.
Ask me, Mitch.
How much gold have you ever found in your life?
Actual raw gold?
Yeah.
Like I found it,
mm-hmm.
like 3 flex on a trip to Colorado one time.
Okay.
Like, you know that little that you pan? Yeah. Like 3, like 2 pennies probably.
How many times have you won the lottery?
Quite a few.
Okay.
You're thinking big lottery. I'm talking I bought Layla a scratcher ticket, or I bought Powerball and I won $1.
Right. I guess what I'm getting at
but not money-wise, essentially negative. How about that?
There's a lot of people that aren't that doing the task that want the results of the task.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, oh, it must be nice. That guy found a big old gold nugget. It must be nice. I don't see you out digging.
Yeah.
Like, how can you complain about not finding gold when you aren't digging for gold?
Yeah. Do you realize that guy's been in a fucking pup tent?
Right.
For fucking 2 weeks panning for gold?
Yeah.
Because he just believes so strongly he's going to find it?
There's,
and you're sitting at home watching Monday Night Football eating bonbons?
Yeah. There's same with the lottery thing. Must be nice. It won the lottery. When's the last time you bought a ticket? Oh, I don't play. Why are we complaining?
Yeah.
Those are bad neural pathways.
Sometimes they're statements, but yeah, they are. They're bad neural pathways.
Yeah.
I mean, results are dictated by your execution. And if you're not going to execute and you're not going to try, you're not going to have good results.
Yeah.
And to your point with neural pathways, if you're not even going to try and just develop negative neural pathways because of it, you're just going to inherently become a negative person, and nothing you do will ever be good enough for you, for anyone else. You won't be successful. You'll just be a fucking bum on the tit of America for the rest of your fucking life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Said, Dave. Yes.
Yes. Well said. I guess what I'm saying is, like, don't be envious of those businesses that have a good team of people and be like, oh, it must be nice. I can't find anybody to work for me. Well, how many people do you think they hired to result in the team they have?
Yeah, those weren't all one-offs. They didn't hire five.
Let's just say it's a 4-to-1 ratio, maybe a 5-to-1 ratio, right? They had to go through 5 employees to land on the really good one.
If they have 5, that's 25.
And that doesn't mean they have a turnover problem.
It's 20 hire and fires.
Right. A turnover problem is bad management. Going through people in an organization, that's just part of it.
Harvey Summers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we got a rotating door around here, and we're proud of it.
Yeah. Well,
that's because you guys fucking suck at training people.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't manage them well, they're going to want to leave, right?
Oh, you don't want to pay them. See ya.
Yeah. So, you know, a turnover problem is people quitting and you don't know why. Going through people to build a really good team, that's just part of business. That's just what we have to do to grow a business. If I want to end up with 5 A players, I might have to hire 25 or 30 people and then realize, okay, you're a B player, you're a C player, you're a B player, you're a C player. And I'm not using those guys along the way, but I'm still providing them a really good job. I just now know that they're not an A player. So they're going to deliver a smaller than expected return to the business until I can find them a chance to upgrade.
We didn't talk about this, but I think it's worth mentioning. You don't want a team of 5A players.
No.
The majority of the time. Everyone acts like they do. Those guys know what it takes to be the best at their job,
mm-hmm.
which means they're going to bitch about lead dispersal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, best leads, not this leads. The best businesses are well-balanced.
Yeah.
OK, Okay, they have some A players, they have some B players, they have some C players.
Yep.
Everyone has their role in business.
Yep.
Mitch, if they put him on the phones tomorrow and said, Mitch, you got to answer the phones for 2 weeks, they would see a decline.
Yes.
Because he hates it.
Well, I give and has, too much info away on the phone.
And has ADHD.
Yep.
And doesn't stick to the script because that's not his wheelhouse.
So one of the new owners of our company, we meet, all the owners meet every week. One of the new owners of our company is, we have a part-time CSR job coming up, work from home, answer the phones.
Yeah, yours job. Is getting fired, right?
No.
The other one's getting fired.
No.
Need another one.
No, we're just going to get Danielle off the phones. So
that's what I meant, fired from answering the phones.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, she's not getting fired, just fired from answering the phones.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so one of the new owners.
I didn't communicate that well.
He's like, can I do it?
Dude, because why?
He wants to immerse himself in the business. He wants to learn.
Oh, he wants to understand the initial start process.
He wants to understand
process.
The job.
Yeah.
He wants to understand where the customer experience originates.
Yeah.
Right? And so...
There's some validity to that.
There's a lot of validity. And he's like, I'm not going to do it for a long time, but I want to do it well enough to where I can recognize when somebody's doing it right and somebody's doing it wrong.
Yeah. And that, to be honest, a couple months.
Love it.
A couple months, you'll have it.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
So... But those are the types of leaders that you look for in an organization. Is I can't lead you for how to do this well, or like I can't lead you unless I know what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. So that doesn't mean I have to be the best at it, but I have to be the best at learning how to visualize where you're at with it. Right?
Yeah.
Who do you think can throw a ball farther, Patrick Mahomes or
Mitch
Andy Reid?
Well, I know it ain't Andy.
Remember the video of him and the punt pass kick? If you guys want something really funny to look at, look up Andy Reid in the punt pass kick competition.
When he was 13.
When he was 13 years old.
It's scary as fuck.
He's taller than the coaches.
Yeah.
He weighs more than the coaches.
But who could eat more cheeseburgers?
Right.
Andy Reid or Patrick Mahomes? I know Andy's putting down 10.
He grabs the football and it looks like a mini football. And he like chucks it out of the stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
he's
the
a
helmet.
Beast.
The helmets like barely fit him. So it's a funny video.
I saw, so they used to show that on like Monday night games and stuff. And someone was like, that can't be a real helmet. Like that, like they had to just get some fake lamp helmet and like shove that helmet on his head. Cause that's not a real helmet.
That's a spare tire from a Yugo.
Yeah. That's not right.
Yeah. But yeah, essentially just understand that your team that you will need to build or do need to build is literally built off of your ability to identify are they good players or not, and to upgrade them and get the job done along the way.
Yeah.
So you will not have a team of A players without building that team into A players. You're right. Good help is hard to find because it can't be found. It must be made. It must be created. In other words, you find people with good values and good conviction, but that are coachable and trainable, and they'll do things the way your process says to do them.
Yeah.
And you also hold your process in enough high regard to say, we don't do this because it's my process. We do this because it's the best way we found to do it. And one of the ways that you know that your head's in the right space there is, are you willing to alter the process if you found a better way to do it, regardless of whose idea it was?
Yeah.
We've modified and altered our processes through the years. Because somebody somewhere gave some advice that was like, hey, I think if we do this, it'll actually work a little bit better. Cool. That's a really good idea. So that tells me I'm a champion of the process, not a champion of my process.
Yeah.
Right? The process is literally the best way we found to make it work. And the metrics for that is not me being able to say, haha, I did that. The metrics are, go look at our Google reviews.
Haha, if without me, this thing folds.
Right.
Like, that's not a pride point, man.
Yeah. Yeah, 8 billion people on this world, and you think you're irreplaceable.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
You're very replaceable.
When you die, the world ain't even going to notice, dog.
Right. Right.
It's a humbling thing to think about.
Yeah. Don't let anybody have that power to think they're irreplaceable in your business. So,
wrap us up, Mitch.
That's going to do it for this show. I think this is actually going to end up being like 2 shows. So, if this show made you think about something, if it brought some new questions to light, if you are in the middle of needing to hire or needing to prepare to hire by putting together processes and you have questions, Our emails are in the description of this show. Feel free to shoot us an email and ask whatever questions you have. We are more than happy to help. These are the types of problems that we solve every day in Tradewinds as well. So if you're far enough along in business where you're ready for us to partner with you and work hand in hand with you to grow your business, check out Tradewinds, because that's exactly what we do. Ironically, the day the first episode of this is going to be dropping, the day this episode drops, we will have just wrapped up a sales training in Omaha, Nebraska the week prior. The first half of this episode will drop the day of the sales training. So
yes,
it's a members only sales training. You got to be a Tradewinds member to be there. So if you guys want access to more stuff like that, hit us up about Tradewinds and we'd love to help you. So until next time, guys, we will see you later.
See you.